Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 19. We're going to finish up what we started last week in Acts chapter 19. We got the first seven verses covered. And we talked about last week the incomplete person. Talked about verses 1 through 7 in chapter 19. We went back last week and noticed that in chapter 18, the last verses there, verses 24 through 28, there was also a person by the name of Apollos. In verse 24 of chapter 18, the book of Acts says, a certain Jew, notice he was a Jew, his name was Apollos, and notice that he was born in Alexandria, and that's, I believe, Alexandria, Egypt. It says that he was an eloquent man. He was able to speak well and mighty in the scriptures. Being a Jew, he knew the Old Testament. That was the Bible. That was what we know today as the first covenant that God had made with the nation of Israel and made through Abraham back in Genesis 15 and 17. And so he knew the Bible from the book of Genesis up to Malachi, but also he knew about, if you look at verse 25 of Acts 18, verse 25 says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, I believe it was his spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but knowing only the baptism of John. So he knew from Genesis, Malachi, and all the way through to the baptism of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was baptizing for repentance, a change of mind that leads to a change of life. It was for the purpose of preparing the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man, Apollos, did not know that Jesus Christ had come, did not know that he had died on the cross, did not know that he was risen from the grave, did not know that he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. In other words, he didn't have that complete knowledge that he needed. And so, two that came to him, heard him speak, realizing he didn't have the whole story. It hadn't finished up. The fact that Jesus died, that the Messiah had come, in other words, Old Testament, I'm sure he taught over and over again how the Messiah was coming. Be ready for the coming. And so he got baptized by John the Baptist as well because he wanted to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. And so two came to him after they heard him speak in verse 26 of Acts 18 and said, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly, or get the full message. That word perfect means get it rounded up, rounded out. Understand that the Messiah not only is coming, the Messiah has come. He died on the cross. He shed his blood as the payment for the sins of the people. And so there that day, he heard the gospel. I believe he got the complete gospel. He accepted Christ as his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that came and died on the cross. And so from there he left and he went over to Corinth. It says in verse 27, the name given there is Achaia, but that's that region of which Corinth is in. And then in verse 1 of chapter 19, it says, came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. So here we know that Apollos was in Ephesus. He finally got the complete story, and he accepted Jesus as the Christ, or as the Messiah, and as his Savior. And then he left and went over to Corinth. And Paul had come, first he had been in Corinth, he had come up around into Macedonia. That's that other area. Achaia is the area that Athens and Corinth is in. And then up above that is the Macedonian area. He'd come down the coast to Ephesus. So basically, they just switched places. Now, Apollos has the complete story. He had been incomplete, but now he's complete. And now he's preaching Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But Paul, he ran into a group. We know from chapter 19, verse 7, there's about 12 there. And so 12 men were there, and they had the same problem. You read there in verse 2 of chapter 19. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That is, that they have trusted in the Messiah that was coming. But they hadn't heard that he was there, that he died, that he rose from the grave. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit had come down. We're getting the completion of the gospel. Folks, what we need to understand is this. Acts is a transitional book. And so, we've had Jesus walk now this earth. He had died on the cross. He was buried. He rose. After 40 days, he ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit had come down. And now, we are basically in the completion of the gospel and all that happened. The problem is, not everybody knew it. By the way, there was no text system at the time. Did you know that the Messiah has come? There was no emails at the time. You couldn't even pick up your cell phone at the time and call. Can you imagine living in a day and age that you didn't have these things? You couldn't get on your computer, let everybody know. Couldn't pick up the phone, let everybody know. How did you find out? Word of mouth. By the way, you didn't hop on a plane, go over to another area and tell them about it. There was no planes. We forget, just about a little over 100 years ago, there was no planes. So there was no planes, there was no trains, there was no cars, there were none of those things. And so the gradual getting the word out that the Messiah had come that was prophesied in the Old Testament took a little time. And guess what? Aquila and Priscilla ran into one of those guys. His name was Apollos. They got that straightened out. He accepted Jesus as the Messiah or as the Christ. All right? And then he went on to Corinth to preach to them. That truth of that gospel, the fulfillment of the scriptures of the Old Testament that he knew so well. Then Paul, he comes around, he had been in Ephesus, he had come around and down, or in Corinth, excuse me, and come around and down into Ephesus, and guess what? He finds some more of these people. It is not a surprise. You couldn't pick up that cell phone. You couldn't get on that computer and get an email. You couldn't fly here or catch a train there. People would know gradually, and that's what the book of Acts is. It's a gradual turning from the Old Testament into what would become the New Testament. It's a gradual coming from the nation of Israel to the church age. And there's a gradual transition happens in the book of Acts. So be careful. Don't read the book of Acts and try to get all your Christianity out of it, because it's changing. It's moving. They were looking for the Messiah. Now the Messiah's come. These guys hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost had come. But he had come. And so that transition had to take place. By the way, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So what does that say to me about these guys? They were searching, but they hadn't found, but Paul let them know. He has come. You can accept him as your Savior. By the way, just because this fellow named Jesus doesn't mean he's the Christ. But what these men did is they took the Jesus in the New Testament that we talk about being Jesus Christ or Jesus the Christ. They took that man Jesus that came, walked this earth, was crucified on a cross. Which, by the way, people were crucified on a cross in Rome were not saviors. They were crooks. They were thieves. They were murderers. But this man was crucified on a cross. You had to take the Old Testament, prove the scriptures in the Old Testament that it was fulfilled in this man named Jesus. Can you do that? Well, I found that a fellow by the name of Philip got on a chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" Where did we find that at? The book of Acts. That transitional book. This guy was looking for God. He had been to Jerusalem. He had been to the temple. He had sat in the place for the Gentiles there. And he was a proselyte of the Jewish God. He was looking. And I'm sure they were telling him, the Messiah is coming. Now they figured he's going to come on a white horse. And he was going to put Rome aside and bring Israel as the great nation, all that. But he had to first come to save the sinner from his sin. But each one of these people had to be persuaded that the Messiah that's coming in the Old Testament was actually this man named Jesus, that he was the Christ. You remember what Philip did? He got up into that chariot, took that Old Testament off of his lap and looked at it, and he pointed at it, and he preached unto him Jesus as the Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, go back and read it. Talks about the lamb led to the slaughter, didn't open his mouth. In other words, he showed him that everything that was prophesied back in Isaiah 53 actually happened to this man named Jesus, because he was the Christ. That he died on that cross? Go back to Psalm. Psalm 22. Guess what? It talks about crucifixion. The problem with that is, crucifixion was not even known about until the Romans brought it in. Hundreds of years later. And yet it was prophesied in the Old Testament. How did that happen? God was showing them that the true Christ would come and die on the cross. Understand what I'm saying? It's a transitional book. The book of Acts. And we're transitioning from Israel to the church. From Jehovah God, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but we're transferring from Jehovah God, which is what they heard about, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who is Jehovah God as well, but they're seeing that He's the Messiah. And the book of Acts transitions over to that. And these men had an incomplete understanding, as I told you last week, but it was shared with them the full truths. And so this incomplete people got the complete message. You know the problem with that is we're still dealing with incomplete messages. We're still dealing with churches that teach you get baptized to go to heaven. They're still teaching people that why do you get baptized to go to heaven? Because John the Baptist said you need to repent and be baptized. And therefore, that's what we have to do today. That was a transitional time. He was preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. They believed, they were baptized, and they joined the church. That is the order given in the New Testament. But in the transitional book of Acts, we are moving through that time period, getting to the reality of what you and I today know is the New Testament and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is the move that we're making through there. All right, and so they got an incomplete message, and now they have heard the completed thing exactly as it is, and they receive Christ as their Savior. That brings us up to today. I did all that, kind of leading you up there. I hope you understand what we're talking about thus far. We've got the complete message that the Savior's come, that the Holy Spirit has come down, and now we are in that time period now where we're living today when it's all being completed. Everything that needs to be done for you to be saved, for you to go to heaven, has been done. All you got to do is reach out and accept what God has done for you. It's called grace. We are in the age of grace. All right, the second thing we see, the finished chapter 19 up this morning, first of all, in the first seven verses there. We've seen the incomplete person and how they got themselves completed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did. And then we've seen the next thing that we see here is the insincere person. The insincere person. What do you mean by that? Well, first of all, we see the unsaved imposters. The unsaved imposters. Look at verse chapter 19. Look with me at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. What's going on there? Boy, we've had people today, maybe people on TV or on radio and places, they're out there selling handkerchiefs. They've been prayed over. They've been blessed, anointed with oil or something like that. And all you've got to do, they send you a letter, and maybe it even has something looks like a handkerchief in them, probably made out of paper, whatever. And they say, you know, if you just send $10 in, they'll probably call it seed money. You just send the $10 in, and send the letter and the handkerchief with you, and we're going to put your name on that, and we're going to pray over that, and God's going to do whatever He's going to do. Why do they want the letter and the handkerchief back? They don't want you to have any proof of what's done in case the government comes along and tries to get them for fraud or whatever. But all that going on, and why is that going on? Because there it says in Acts chapter 19, that Paul, they took those rags that Paul had, and they were healed of whatever was going on in their life, healed of the diseases or whatever. Now, what's actually going on here? Well, let's look at the verses again. And God wrought special miracles. Number one, Paul didn't do it. God was doing it. It says God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Notice the word miracles there. It's also translated, that particular word in the Greek is translated power in most other scriptures. I'm not doubting the word miracle here, because it is the power of God that works the miracle. I agree with it. I just want you to understand that word there is the Greek word dunamis. There's two words basically in the Greek that gives us the word power. Exousion and dunamis. And I know it's kind of going over your head. I understand that. I took Greek in college. I used to tell people, I said, did you take Greek in college? I said, no, it took me. It took me for a ride. And I got through it. I learned that there's books over here that can tell me what the words mean and all that. That's what I learned. I didn't learn that much about Greek. But anyway, exousion is used, matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 28, where it says, where Jesus says, all power is given unto me. Now that's not power like strong or whatever. It's exousion means authority. The word exousion means authority. When he said all power or all authority is given unto me. And it's right. I'm not arguing King James Bible, because I believe King James Bible is translated correctly. It is the power of God. It's his authority. But to help us to understand that difference is, here this word miracle is dunamis. That's that other word for power, often translated as power, in our King James Bible. And dunamis is a word that we get dynamite from, so I kind of give you an idea. That means power, baby. And so here he says this miracle, or this power that God gave to work this great miracle. Let me tell you something, folks. This is the only place in the Bible you're going to find this. That says something to me. See, often in the book of Acts, you only find this particular thing happening one time. You know why? Because it's a transitional book. And God is, what is God doing here? He's authenticating to the people around that Paul, what he's saying is backed up by the power, the dunamis, the power of God. These are very superstitious people. You know, people are superstitious today. Even matter of fact, the further away we get from the Bible, the more superstition comes in. What's the difference between superstition and the Bible? The Bible is fact. It's fact. It's matter of fact. Superstition is basically feeling. I feel this. I feel that. We're always feeling. We're now a society in the United States that is feeling oriented. If it don't feel good, or if it feels good, do it. If it don't feel good, I don't have to do it. That isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says thou shalt, or the Bible says thou shalt not. That's not a feeling, that's a fact. Amen? And so we need to base what we believe upon the facts that are given. So he says to him, and God wrought spatial miracles, this power by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There was a time in this country when we didn't have much to say about demonology and demons and evil spirits. You know why? Because we were a country of light. Darkness didn't abound like it is today. Guess what's happening today in our society? We're moving to that darkness. And now there's a lot about demons and demonology and all this stuff going on. People worshiping the devil. I used to have a neighbor just up the street here when I lived over here, not too far from the church. And the people that moved in, she was a witch. She put a gargoyle up on the top of the garage, the peak of the garage. Moved in beside us. There's probably a spiritual battle going on between us here. I don't know. But why is it today that it seems like demonology and all this stuff is growing in our country? Because the Bible is rescinding. It's not strong today. We're not teaching it today. Our light is not shining today as it once did. So what happens when lights are not shining? Darkness comes in. And so, what was the problem over there? Well, Israel's supposed to be in the light. And they weren't. And darkness had set in. Demons were everywhere. I'm told by missionaries in certain countries they go to, you can literally feel demons and feel the darkness around you. And all that goes on. You know, people sticking pins in the dolls and doing curses on people and I've heard a guy tell me one day, he said, and you think, well, that's ridiculous. Pastor, he said, I've seen it. He said, I've seen people get hurt because somebody over in the next village was sticking a pin in them. Or somebody was cursing and seeing people foam at the mouth and all kinds of things going on. What's going on there? Demonology. And you remember what I said about demons? We can't see them. And we can't see the angels. And I can't see germs, but they're there. And the Bible says they're there. Guess what? They're there. And so this is what was going on. And so something had to be done in this transitional time for these Ephesians that were the type of people that just believed all this stuff. As a matter of fact, if you look down in verse, what verse is it in here? I can't see it right offhand. There it is, verse 19. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together, burned them before all men, and counted their price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's about $8,000. How would you like to have an $8,000 bonfire? Huh? We'll go out to Brother Halsey's, and I'm sure he don't mind burning up $8,000 in his backyard. Have a little wiener roast back there. Ought to taste good with $8,000 of his money being burnt. Not my money, of his money. Yeah. But when you're rich as he is, you don't, you know. What's $8,000, right? When you're... But that's what was going on here. Something had to be dealt with and shown to these people that Paul, what he was saying, was true. Authenticate the message. How did God do it? Through signs, wonders, and miracles at the hands of the Apostle Paul. Now, you know, I made light of the fact that people send through the mail these things. They'll send you something that looks like a handkerchief. And they'll send it to you and say, listen, we our group has prayed over this. We've anointed it with some special oil and everything. And if you've got cancer, if you got this or you got that, you just send it back and you know, maybe fold up a few bucks in it and send it back. And we're going to those. Why the dollars? This shows your faith. That's what they say. What do you say, preacher? Bunch of baloney. Far as I'm concerned. And don't get mad at me. If you agree with it, that's fine. One thing about it here at Fellowship Baptist Church, I'm not the final word. God's the final word. If you find it out, you think you believe it in from God's word, then that's fine. But you better find it from God's word. I've been studying it for about 40 years now, and I don't find it. This is what they say, get this beautiful white hanky. By the way, in Ephesus, the Temple of Diana, a false religion. It was big. They had the seventh wonder of the ancient world was Temple Diana. Huge temple there. And they worshiped Diana. And part of this curious arts and curses and all that was from Diana. And they would wear white robes and have these white handkerchiefs and stuff like that. This is just a part of the false religion of that day. And you say, yeah, but what happened here? Paul, he had these rags that came off, like handkerchiefs or whatever. Well, first of all, I want you to understand that when Paul worked, he worked as a tent maker. He made his money, so to speak, not off of religion or whatever. He made his money because he's a tent maker. Probably about the age of 12 or 13 years old, the Apostle Paul went into this apprenticeship to be a tent maker. Most Jewish boys did that. And when he graduated from that apprenticeship, no doubt he was given the tools of the trade. He had his little tool bag and he carried it with him. It was important because he made his living from that for the most part. And in that would be maybe different size awls, AWLS, those things that drill holes. They'd have that, and they'd have the sewing type kit. I don't know, maybe the needle was out of bone or something. I don't know, but I'm just saying there was a kit of tools, and he would go to places and he'd set up shop, usually try to find somebody that was doing the same trade and see if he could work with them. And he would sew tents. Tents were made out of camel hair and goat hair. Or made out of leather in some cases. And again, they had to drill holes in and they had to put them together. And you want to be very careful. You just couldn't go up to Kmart or Walmart or somewhere and go in and measure out a big old piece of cloth and slice it off and you know, waste 3/4 of it. That isn't the way. You better know how to cut that thing a certain way, get the most you can out of it, and so forth and so on. Some of you maybe have cut out patterns before. If you haven't done that, you lay out the cloth. They tell you exactly how much you get. And you don't just cut one pattern out. You cut the pattern here, and then you, on this side, right close to it, there's another. You might get 3 pieces of something out of that one piece of cloth. Because you don't want to waste that. You know. And back in the day, they definitely didn't want to waste it. Back in the day, I mean before your time. I know you're a bunch of old codgers, but I mean way back. Back in that day, you know, people couldn't afford that kind of stuff. They didn't want to waste that stuff and so forth. And so, Paul knew how to do that. It was also made out of linen. White. You know, white reflects heat. That's why you see all the Arabs and people walking around in white cheat like in robes and so forth. Why? It reflects. You get black on, it soaks it in. It gets hot. So they made them out of linen as well. I think maybe that's right there where it's at. He was making tents. He's working. He's sweating. It's hot over there. And he's sweating. And probably they were using this linen to make awnings that go out over the buildings or tent-like affairs. And so after they cut, there'd be little strips and they'd throw them over the side. Paul might reach over and he'd wipe his brow. And it's dirty and it's dusty. And the rag, after a while, it would get dirty, throw it over and maybe reach over and grab another one. Somebody came along and grabbed a hold of that. And the next thing you know, there was healing going on. The problem is, folks, this isn't what they were picking up. You say, preacher, what were they picking up? Let me show you what they were picking up. They were picking up something that kind of looked like this. You want this, Gene? Yeah. Here, let me wipe your brow for you. Paul's out working. He's sweating. There's dirt and dust everywhere. I know what that's like. I've been in areas like that. And man, you get dirty. It's great to come, get back and get that nice shower and so forth. Get the dirt washed off, as they say. That's what Paul was doing. And when they reached down and grabbed a hanky, it wasn't this. It was this. Now, what's the point, preacher? This represents the false religion of Diana. This represents the hard work of the Apostle Paul and God taking that. This is a rebuke of this. This wasn't saying this is what God does. This was saying God can take this and turn you into this. God can use the man, the Apostle Paul, and make a change in your life. This was a dirty, sweaty, old rag that they were picking up. And then God can take a dirty old rotten sinner like me and clean me up and use me for His glory and use you for His glory. God was making a point here. This is a transitional time in that ministry there and reaching out to these people. Then not only the unsaved imposters we see, notice these guys, verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, again, they're Jews, exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Was Paul out there preaching, come to me and I'll lay hands on you and you can be healed of whatsoever problem you have? No, Paul was working, making tents and talking to people about the fact that there is a Messiah. The Jews' Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. He was giving them the truth. He was wiping his brow. And then God showing the people that this is my man. Pay attention to him. Allow that healing to go on. Never see it again in the Bible. Well, what's going on? God is using a way of reaching the people to move them from these Jews. They were Jews. Moving them from the old, moving to the new. Not the looking for the Messiah, but the Messiah has come. All this is being done right here. And here's these Jews, these vagabond Jews. Vagabond means they traveled around. They're trying to make some money, and they're using this, and they see what's going on over here with Paul as he's working, as he's sweating, as these rags are thrown down, and they're picking them up. All that's going on, they like this, and so they just jump on, and they say, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, now Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you, ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, that is, he had an evil spirit, that man leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So there's seven guys here, eight counting Siva himself. There's eight of them there, and they make this big show about calling out the demons, and the guy that has the demon looked at him, said, well, we know Jesus, and by the way, that no means we know of him. All right, it's not a personal relationship. We know Jesus, or we know who he is, and we know Paul. In other words, we know who he is, but who are you? And that guy with the demon, he just jumped right on him, whipped them all. I'd like to be able to jump into eight guys and whip them all. Wouldn't that be great? How did he do that? Have you ever noticed that somebody that, like some today, people on drugs and stuff like that, superhuman strength. The things that they can do. Demons call superhuman strength, as we would say. And he whipped them all. Because of that, I call these the unsaved imposters. We got a lot of that going around today in the name of religion. We got a lot of that today going on around in the name of Christianity. Be careful what you believe. Know what the Bible says. And always be sure that you take the Bible and take it as God has given it. The book of Acts is a transitional book, and we're flowing through that transition to what we have today. We don't want to go back and do something. I said to you, God does these things through these men to authenticate who they are. I do not need to cast demons out. I do not have to lay hands on people and heal them. I do not have to do all those things sometimes we see in the book of Acts. You know what I need to do? I need to take this Bible and preach it. Because this, listen, you say, I don't believe you, preacher. You don't have to. But if this is what the Bible says, you better believe it. Not me, it's what God says. I'm supposed to be the man of God in the sense I'm the man that's supposed to preach the Bible in a way that brings it down so we all know and understand it. Hopefully led by the Spirit of God to help you know and understand what God is doing. That's my job. And it's not about me and some miracle that I can do. It's about I better preach this book. And by the way, you ought to have one laying in your lap so you find out if I'm preaching it or not. Does it make sense about what I'm saying? Does it help you to know and understand what God intends in your life? And so I see next these unshackled believers. Notice this, and I'm going to have to close. On the unshackled believer, look with me if you would in verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews. What's going on there? They're all watching this. They're watching what's happening with Paul. They're watching what's happening with this demon. And it says in verse 7, this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks, even the Gentiles, also dwelling at Ephesus. Look what happened. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That's what needs to happen. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Look at verse 19. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together, burned them from before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, like I said, about $8,000 a day. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. We're establishing the book. When this comes and it's completed, then all those things can be done away with. I don't need all these things. I just need this. I need to know what it says. I need to preach the truth. I need to read it. I need to believe it. And God then takes the Word of God and helps me to grow and mature in my faith. What are these books? They were called the Ephesian letters. They were kind of like spells and so forth that they could say over people. And they believed that these were spoken, people believed that the power of to heal and to cast out the demons and so forth. Now you see why people want to go backwards instead of forward and believe that that's what Paul was doing. Paul wasn't doing that. Paul was making tents and Paul was preaching the truth of the gospel, and God was authenticating that what he was saying was true by showing these signs, wonders, and miracles in his life. And so they came, they looked, these things are useless, and they threw them on the fire, built a fire and threw them on there, and burned them up, and repented of them, and believed on that which Paul was preaching. Said the so mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. And then it says, verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also go to Rome. So he went into Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. They would take these Ephesian curses and spells, so they put them on bracelets and amulets that they'd wear around their neck and charms and so forth, believing that the power would ward off the evil and influence being having good fortune in their life. They brought them and they burned them. And so now when Paul's work was done, he's moving on. Just like the Bible from the Old Testament starts moving on and things start happening. Today you said in a local New Testament church that believes the Bible is the Word of God, that the man of God, the preacher, has been sent by God to preach the Word of God, to give it to you just like it's supposed to be given to you, that you might believe and know and understand the truth and stand up for it. Be a believing, understanding, strong Christian in God's Word. This world needs it. We are the light of the world. We're not to put it under a bushel. We're to set it out on a candlestick. The candlestick, by the way, in the Bible, according to Revelation chapter 1, is what? The local church. And let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around this morning, don't get caught up in the transition. We live in a day and an age where that's all over. And we're going to get in from here. Here we start reading about the local New Testament churches, the believers in Rome, the church of Corinth, the church of Galatia, the church of Ephesus, the many churches, and how God's working in them, and how God is through the preaching of God's word by the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Titus and others, people are saved and lives are changed. That's the life that we're in today. That's what a Fellowship Baptist Church is supposed to be. And by the way, you are a member of the church. By that, just like I have arms and hands and toes and fingers and a head and all that, we make up the local New Testament church. What are we to do, preacher? We're to go out from this building. Our mission field is outside these doors. We're to go out and just teach, preach, or proclaim, and live our lives as a light that others might be saved. And people can become unshackled. Used to be a radio program called Unshackled. I don't know where it's still on anywhere or not, but it told these terrible, terrible stories of what happened to people and then how God came in and saved them and they were unshackled. That's what happened in Ephesus. It's not about a rag. It's not about a hanky. It's about the power of God releasing people from sin and demonic power over their life. Has God done that for you? If you died today, do you know for sure you're saved and going to heaven? Great. Then let your light shine. Let people know. Tell others about Jesus. Are you here today and you say, I'm saved? I know for sure I'm saved? Well, good. That's good. If you're not sure, you come. We'll take the Bible. We'll give you a Bible reason for your salvation. I'll show you what the Bible says about it. If you are saved, then please let your light shine before men. They can see your good works, that you can glorify your Father which is in heaven. They will be drawn to the light. And they too can become unshackled from sin like you have been. Let God have His way. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people here today. We lift them up to you in praying, dear God, that maybe some want to come and talk to you about their service for the Lord, letting their light shine. They may ask that you forgive them and cleanse them and help them to shine bright for you. They may come and pray for another. They got a son, a daughter, a sister, a brother. They got a cousin, an uncle, an aunt. Maybe a mom or a dad. Maybe they have a husband or wife that needs prayer. God, you know. They'll pray for salvation. They pray for drawing them back into the church, back into the will of God. God, you answer prayer. You are a prayer answering God. You are the one that has the power. All power is given unto me. All authority. And here Paul had the power of God working in his life. I need that. These dear folks need that. May we need to come and pray about that. Put that name before you. Ask the Lord what we can do to reach out to them. So Lord, have your will in your way. Maybe other special needs in the family or in their lives and they need to come. God, we know you answer prayer. May they step out and may, Lord, you hear that prayer. So Father, have your will in your way and we'll thank you for it. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.